They're big and they're sweaters. Looney Tunes are trendsetters. Welcome to How Do We Human? It's the podcast where we do stuff like that. Normally the podcast where we overanalyze all the weird and awkward, uncomfortable micro moments in life. I'm one of your hosts, Evan Cox.
I'm one of your hosts, Chris Binning.
I'm going at a slow pace today for some reason. Maybe because this is one of our serious episodes, an investigation, if you will.
When I think of Looney Tunes, I think of slow pace.
And when I think of slow-paced, serious podcasts, I think Tiny Toon theme song parody to start the episode.
That's right.
Before we dig in, we didn't talk about whether we're doing this or not, but here we go. Before we dig in, Chris.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. This is a story from a couple weeks ago, but I'm going to tell it now as if it recently happened.
Oh, I love that.
My fiance and I were going to brunch at a restaurant, and we get into the parking lot. And it's kind of a small parking lot, but I see a car pulling out of the space. And I'm like, perfect. Let me pull in right there. And so as soon as that car gets out of the way, a car from the other direction floors their gas and whips into that parking space instead to steal it from me. So already I'm a little mad, but I go just a little bit further to where their car was.
Yeah.
Was waiting to find several open spots right there where they could have easily just parked.
That's insult to injury.
I park there. We get out of the car. We're walking over, and I see the driver of the truck that stole our parking spot. And now he's speed walking in order to beat us to the hostess stand and check in for a table for two. So now
okay.
I'm double pissed. That's the end of the story, but that shit just really, I'm trying to have a nice, wholesome brunch, and I got to deal with this bullshit.
That is so
puts me in the wrong mindset, which I recognize is my problem, but is it though?
Yeah, I think he entered the situation everything is my problem. I'm gonna do it all. I'm not apologizing. We're just embracing it. This is all my fault. I suck.
Yeah.
You can't have anything you want today. I'm taking it all. Brunch ruined.
Yeah. It's just it was a little frustrating to see him huffing and puffing his way past.
Outrageous.
And then when he got called for his table, I was like, that should have been me.
Should have been mine.
Evan, how you doing?
I've got the microest of updates.
Okay.
But it felt like something I needed to share. I got an Instagram message from an old buddy of mine who listens to the pod and the cast.
Okay, both.
And he sent me a picture of a full-on two-piece European bidet. And he said,
okay,
the real deal. And I told him, man, I'm glad that's my reputation.
Yeah.
I'm the guy you see a bidet, and it's like, we got to send this to Evan.
Holy shit, Evan's got to see this.
Because he'll care. And I did truly care. he's vacationing in Italy. And I was like, man, I want it. That looks great. It's like, I didn't realize it's two separate seats. You do your business on one seat, and you go over to the cleaning station. I kind of like that. A whole new world.
Yeah.
Leave that behind. And let's get clean. So just wanted to shout that out. Michael, thanks for reaching out. And if anyone else wants to send me photos of bidets, that's at Evan Andrew Cox. Or at How Do We Human. We're out there. And we care.
Yeah, please send Evan your bidet pics.
Man, I don't know. I don't have a. I was so excited about my intro. I don't have a way to get into this.
Well, look, these are stories that are just a little loony. Mm. Let's talk about the Looney Tunes in fashion. Did we even mention that that's what we were doing at the beginning of this episode?
No. Just a, it was an investigative episode. I sang the Tiny Toons themes and said an investigative episode was incoming. So I hope we didn't lose anyone.
Fair enough. The title of this episode should probably clue you in. This is the, we talked about doing this episode a long time ago. I don't even remember if it was on mic, but I brought it back up because I happened to be at a store. I was looking for, like, what should I wear to the rehearsal dinner for the wedding coming up in a couple weeks here. I got to figure out what outfit I want to wear. And I'm going to all these different stores, and I pop in to a Sears. And in this Sears, they have a Looney Tunes sweater.
Okay.
And I was like, this, I had to do a double take because I guess it's not even a sweater now looking at the photo. It's a t-shirt. But
I had to do a double take that you were at a Sears. I didn't know they were still around.
Well, that's the thing, is this Sears that I went to closed and then reopened for some reason, but with significantly less stock.
That, I've seen that happen. It's the old Kmart special.
Yeah, exactly.
We've reopened, all our merchandise is on the ground. All right, love this.
Okay, so this, I don't know how well it's showing on here, but you can see it's a red shirt. It says Looney Tunes across the top. And then you've got, 12 different character heads.
I'd have to say, exactly 12.
And you'd have to say it.
Name them as fast as you can. Go.
Name them? Is that what you said?
Yeah, name them in order.
Sure. Daffy, Bugs, Tweety, Marvin, Roadrunner, Porky, Foghorn, Leghorn, Taz, Sylvester, Yosemite Sam, Wile E. Coyote, and Elmer Fudd.
Easy. That was solid.
But I don't know if this is showing up as well, because these are not their names that are underneath their heads.
No.
These are one-word descriptions, but as we go through them, you're going to kind of wonder, like, what? Some of these don't make sense. Like, the first one is Daffy Duck. And by the way, anybody that really doesn't feel like I've painted a good enough photo of this shirt in their minds, you can check us out on our YouTube channel. You'll be able to see the video of this. But the first character here is Daffy Duck, and it just says greedy underneath it. And it's like, okay, sure. Daffy Duck is greedy.
Yeah.
Bugs Bunny, it says player underneath it. And it's like, I don't quite know if that makes as much sense.
I get the direction they're going, yeah.
Tweety Bird, it says agitator. Yeah. And I'm like, we're starting to lose me a little bit. And it's going to get weirder as we go down this list. Marvin the Martian, of course, says alienated because he's an alien. Yeah. I get it. Clever. The Roadrunner, flippant is the word that they've used.
Okay.
It's like, I see kind of where you're going. Porky Pig, it says ham, I guess, because he's a pig.
All right.
Foghorn Leghorn, it says oblivious, which I don't really remember as being his defining character trait.
Yeah.
Here's where we get a little weirder. The Tasmanian Devil, all it says underneath is whatevs.
I think that's perfectly in line with Looney Tunes fashion in general. It's just Taz and it says whatevs on it.
Yeah.
But yes, that's nonsense.
Sylvester, it says scaredy cat. Okay, I'm back on board. I understand. Yosemite Sam, it says hothead. Yeah, I got it. Mm-hmm. But this is really where I'm most unsure of what I'm, why I would purchase this shirt. Why would anybody purchase the shirt that says, has Wile E. Coyote's face mm-hmm. and says whipped underneath it?
I couldn't read what it said.
I don't. I'll see if I can zoom in.
It's really?
Whipped right there under Wile E. Coyote's face.
It says cook.
Yeah. What is this? And then last, Elmer Fudd, it says special underneath his,
underneath him,
which is also like, that's
all.
those last two really, really are bizarre choices to include on that shirt. And I, as soon as I saw that, I took a photo and I was like, Evan, it's time to talk about Looney Tunes fashion, because
that's where this all started.
Yes. I don't know why in the world you would purchase this, you know?
It's also, just from a graphic design standpoint, pretty arbitrary where they place the text underneath each head. Like, sure. Yosemite Sam, the mustache is covering up. That's part of the joke. And I love that. But yeah. They've added that text like closer to his face than any other one of these. Yeah. And then whipped is like, and ham. Those are both like a solid inch below. This is random. But the other thing is like, my initial take when I saw this, and it turned out it didn't matter. My initial take when I saw this is like, because this is kind of a meme format where it's, you know, it's the like the shirt with all the Darth Vader heads that says all the different emotions. So it's like, oh, this is me feeling this way, this way, this way, this way.
Uh-huh.
But this goes back and forth
between
making sense in that sense and making sense in the sense you're looking at it as like defining characteristics of these characters. This is peak. I don't know. It appears in my mind it could be unlicensed, but if it's in a Sears, who knows anymore? But this is peak what we're talking about. I think both, because those are the big two, an angry Tweety Bird that says agitator right. and a Taz with his tongue stuck out that says whatevs. Or what eves.
Yeah, it is. It does. The way that they've spelled it here is with as if it's supposed to say whatever, but instead of an R, they put an S. So what eves or whatevs. Either way, this is peak Taz fashion.
I can say that. Over two to the left. That is my face when I'm feeling ham.
Yeah. When you're feeling ham, you're just a little pig in a bow tie. But yeah, I mean,
it's also like, isn't this shirt? I mean, who knows? There's no logic.
There's a lot to figure out about this shirt. And we don't have the answers. I mean, because the other thing I thought was like, not only is it arbitrary where the text is, it feels like the order of the characters is also very arbitrary. Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't have put Marvin the Martian in that top row with those big stars.
But it feels like Marvin the Martian is in the clothing world. He's not as big a character in the show as he is in merch.
That's true.
So, I don't know. There might be some research behind this. We can't say for sure. Is there research behind this episode? I want to say some.
Yeah, yes. There is some.
Yesterday, I was looking around. I was like, I'm going to devote my entire day to this. Nah, not quite. But I looked into basically, the main thing we're trying to investigate, in my mind, is like, where did all this, what happened? Where did all this come from?
Sure.
We all know that particularly in the 90s, a little bit in the early, in the 90s, it was like a fashion thing. In the early 2000s, it was gas station fashion.
Yeah,
at least in Elma, that was, you go to the gas station, they'd have a bunch of like black shirts and hoodies with a angry Tweety Bird on it or something. And it's like, it's all stuff that's not like, like we just witnessed, not really in line with the characters or the show itself or what have you. And well, I think we mentioned this 100 episodes ago. I'm just kind of fascinated. Like, what happened? Where did this come from? And when I was researching yesterday, I found
Did you find that GQ nothing. Article?
Oh. No, I found absolutely nothing. You found a GQ article.
Yes. So these and this particular set of fashion is kind of what you just kind of alluded to it. I'll pull up a couple of photos because I have some. But this is like in particular, like the Looney Tunes characters in quote unquote streetwear. I've seen a couple of articles and things refer to it as you know, gangster clothing, or even more corporately alarming, urban wear. But I've got a couple others here too, but it all, at least according to this article from GQ, can all be traced back to the same company, Evan.
Ooh, okay.
Interesting. But basically, I won't be able to keep sharing these images and focus on the article that I'm trying to read, so I'm going to have to stop doing that. But it all gets traced back to the legendary Queens-based design crew, the Mighty Shirt Kings.
Interesting.
Which is composed of three different people: Edwin Fade Sakasa, Raphael Kashim Avery, and Clyde Nike Harewood. The group took the colorful aesthetics of the 80s New York City graffiti and applied them to t-shirts. So they had, they were working in Queens in the Coliseum Mall. And they became known for combining known cartoon figures, including Looney Tunes, including Disney characters, including comic strip characters, with, as this GQ article quotes, flyboy flourishes like gold teeth. So according to one of them, it was all about like combining fanhood and obligation. which is what this said, and his the quote from him is like, you got to remember 84 85 86, that was when the crack era came out and was devastating communities and destroying families. We had almost a moral job to bring joy to people's lives, and you found joy when you were a child.
Interesting.
So basically, in order to combat crack cocaine, they put gold chains on Bugs Bunny. Sold them shirts.
I approve. That is fascinating, though, because what I was going to say is I did find some stuff 5 minutes before we started recording. I opened up a whole vein of gold.
I don't know.
My friend Robbie was saying he recently watched a documentary about gold miners, and they referred to those as glory holes the entire documentary.
Hilarious.
That's very funny. Like, I gotta see this documentary. So mine, and I guess we'll see these do intersect in a certain way. You mentioned the mid-80s.
Yeah.
So I, as just like an opinion that I found of someone's, but I'm like, ooh, that is interesting, is they traced it, the beginning of it back to 1984, which is also a year you mentioned. Groupthink. 1984 is the year that Six Flags acquired a certain company and got the rights to those Looney Tunes characters. So now, in the mid-80s, the Looney Tunes are connected to children, young people, in a different way. Mm-hmm. They're selling merch. So that's just, as a fact, Looney Tunes represents a little something different right this second. And that is always a partnership that's never really made sense to me, but it's been there since the mid-80s. It's baffling. I believe I mentioned I made an ad for them once, and they were like, you've got to blur out all the Looney Tunes characters. We can't use these. I don't have a real grasp on the deal that they have. But so around that same time, so we're talking about young people, Crisscross.
Okay.
In the early 90s, so not around the same time. Maybe it was late 80s, early 90s. I believe it was like 1990. Crisscross, little hip-hop group of two children. Straight-up kids. Jump. Crisscross gonna make you jump.
Yeah.
I learned, Inside Out clothes, wiggity 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 whack. I don't know. I can't get to the bottom of if it was they put it out or someone else put it out. Maybe even this company you're talking about. The first shirt of this type that I found was a Crisscross related shirt. And it was Bugs Bunny and the Tasmanian Devil back to back wearing the same type of clothes as Crisscross. And they wore their pants backwards because that was the style.
Yes.
At the time.
In fact, I have that photo.
You got it on hand
here. I did not know that that was attributed to.
I don't know if it's
Crisscross, but
I don't think it's official merch. But it's styled after them and was released at that time. And as far as everything I could say or see, that was my origin for this. Yours predates it, which is interesting. But in my timeline, I'm like, that makes sense. If in 1984, Six Flags, Looney Tunes, kids, a kid hip hop group, merch, making cash.
Yeah.
I can see that timeline. How that then just permeates America and the gas stations of Elma is a little bit beyond me, but it's a start.
The Crisscross angle is interesting because the Shirt Kings in Queens, or the Mighty Shirt Kings, they are also. Their story also intersects with musicians.
Ooh.
Because this article attributes the popularity of those clothes coming from both college kids wearing the designs, especially outside of New York, to kind of spread it further, but also attributes then hot Queens natives LL Cool J and Run DMC's Jam Master J.
Interesting.
As people who really helped that shop blow up.
Okay. All right. So I guess my question here then is, because this starts as far as I could tell, unlicensed Looney Tunes merch.
Yes.
And that clothing company seems to be the kind of beginning of it, and having Looney Tunes be something, the characters not necessarily being what we know them as. So I've seen plenty of that, these hip hop, Tweety Bird, etc.
Yeah.
But then it feels like in the 90s that evolved to something else. To the kind of questionable point. Not questionable in that way. Just like, what happened here? Like, I understand mm-hmm. that. Getting this history, I get that. That makes sense. If I were around at the time, I'd have loved it. What? How do we get to, how do we get from there to the shirt you just showed? You know what I mean? Where it's like, we're still putting out weird Looney Tunes shit. And it's gone from like, oh, it's just hip hop Looney Tunes to complete nonsense in my eyes.
Yeah. I mean, the last thing from this article from GQ that I'll mention is basically like, they didn't have any sort of legal entanglements with Warner Brothers over this merchandise, which like would never fly today. If stuff like this happened today, they'd get taken to court or cease and desist or whatever.
John Oliver's made a big deal about Steamboat Willie being in the public domain now. Should we make hip hop Steamboat Willie shirts that say, how do we even?
Absolutely, we should.
I'll mock something up.
They never got into any sort of legal issue with Warner Brothers.
Interesting.
And the reason that they say that is basically like, hip hop was not like the big commercial,
the mainstream
thing that it is today.
Yeah.
And so, quote, there was a vast space between urban and corporate.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like Warner Brothers was like, I'm not going to waste my time with this.
Yeah.
Which ultimately was probably a good decision to let that all go and just let your characters get out there even more so that more people are like fans.
Yeah, believe it or not.
But the other thing in that Reddit thread from the, what I shared, the photo that you were describing,
mm-hmm.
There is a comment on here that, cause that was just about just weird, Looney Tunes, merchandise.
Yeah.
And there's a comment on here that was like, my favorite was, Tweety Bird with a backwards hat and 90s hip hop clothing with the caption, because I'm the mom, that's why. Three totally unrelated things jammed on a t-shirt together.
I love that.
And somebody replied to that, and I think this is kind of ties in what you were saying, how did we get to this point?
Yeah.
Is Tweety was the Minions before the Minions were the Minions.
I like that.
Which is that sort of like, just put a photo of a Minion and some vaguely sassy remark,
mm-hmm.
and you've got like gold merchandise that appeals to a disturbingly large amount of people.
I that is fascinating. And I think that was our original question in the first place, is like, there are those, it's Bugs Bunny and Daffy, but these shirts, it's always been Tweety, Taz, mostly Tweety and Taz.
Mostly Tweety and
some,
Taz.
As I Bugs said, probably some Marvin the Martian. Three.
Yeah.
This is a slight segue, but I just, I've been looking on eBay to see old 90s shirts. And this is like what we're talking about.
Right, from the shirt that I had showed
the
earlier.
The shirt you
too.
Had showed. Oh, right, for audio listeners. The shirt he audibly described. I'm going to audibly describe this one. But this is like what I was talking about, where this is.
Right.
Oh, now let's do that math. 4x4, 16? Yes.
16?
16 Tweety Birds with different looks on their face. Angry, annoyed, confident, confused, contemplative, disgusted, ecstatic, greedy, guiltless, happy, hungry, innocent, jubilant, loony, mischievous, and oof, shocked. That was hard. okay. So, I don't know the point. How come disgusted? He doesn't. Oh, he does have a beak. I lost it. Okay. How are you feeling today? I don't know. There we go. There's Tweety on a motorcycle. And it's like, you watch a Looney Tunes. Tweety Bird's never on a motorcycle.
Right.
This never happened.
And this is interesting because this you would expect from a lot of the things that we've seen for it to be like a badass Tweety Bird on a motorcycle. Right. But this is like Tweety Bird has lost control of the vehicle right when this quote unquote photo was taken.
So this is by Garnet Graphics? Garnet? I can't read that. Oh, Garmin.
I can't either.
Garmin
I would assume,
Graphics Active.
I would assume that because the Mighty Shirt Kings never came across any sort of legal issues,
yeah,
that it kind of inspired a bunch of different smaller companies to pop up and just start taking a swing at it, basically. Yeah.
For real. Tweety Bird with a backwards hat looking sad.
Yeah, I guess.
This is what I'm getting at. It's like, I'll stop sharing my screen, but like, it's the origin we both came up with makes absolute sense to me.
Yes.
And there's a underground punkness to it that I appreciate. But how did we get to the three things I just shared?
Yeah,
and the shirt you shared earlier. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't figure out where that sort of link is between those two things. But a lot of that, I think it's basically like somebody got away with it.
Yeah.
So now all of us can use our awful merch ideas using those characters. Because it is, even though that Mighty Shirt Kings shop says that they, you know, did a little bit with Disney characters and a little bit with like comic strip characters, it really is the Looney Tunes characters that are like fully associated with that. And the article doesn't really say why that is. It kind of loosely ties a couple things to it. I would assume that it's because those characters were more violent than a lot of the Disney characters that maybe helped them stick around longer. I would assume that Disney probably got involved in some legal entanglements with some of those unlicensed uses. And then it also attributes Space Jam as part of why you see a lot of that too.
I watched a video from the Looney Tunes critic, which was titled "Was Space Jam Inspired by Criss Cross?" All comes full circle, baby.
Interesting. It all comes together.
Here's a thought. Because when I really think about it, Tweety Bird's not. Those aren't the most popular Looney Tunes cartoons by any means. I don't consider Tweety Bird, like, within sweatshirts aside, within the context of Looney Tunes, is Tweety Bird even that popular? I suppose there's a great word that you would use in a trial that I can't think of it, but I put forth in front of you all, is this character you've mentioned, where this, it's like Tweety Bird on the sweatshirts isn't the Looney Tunes Tweety Bird, it's its own thing. Is that inherently more popular, and has it always been more popular? Like, do more people know that as Tweety Bird than what he's actually like in the cartoon? And it took a life of its own. And that's how we end up with these shirts, is people realize, like, they'll just buy any fucking shirt with Tweety Bird on it, and he can be doing anything.
Yeah.
I don't know. I should also admit, I'm pretty sure I had a shirt with the Tasmanian Devil with his hat on backwards when I was a kid. So I'm a part of
this. I definitely had Looney Tunes merchandise. I think I've told this story before. I had a shirt that had like a little pocket, a pocket on it. But
fancy.
And then like all the Looney Tunes characters are like poking up out of the pocket as if I were carrying them around all day. And I loved that shirt. And then this was in like first grade or something. And another kid took a pair of scissors and just like snipped the sleeve, just a tiny, like not even the full sleeve, but the little like
the like seam
binding around it, yeah. The seam, and just kind of snipped it and was basically like, "You loved that shirt. I have snipped it." Like, he didn't say that, but that was the vibe of like, I've taken something that you love and I have just barely ruined it for you.
That's kids, however old they were, I love insane shit like that, where it's like, you would just look at this kid and be like, why did you do that? What is wrong with you? And he'd be like, I don't know. They just do stuff sometimes. I don't know.
But I never had any of the stuff we're talking about with the backwards hats and backwards jeans and all that stuff.
I'll have to look. I think I have a photo of myself in a Taz shirt with a backwards hat. And if I do, I'll share that with y'all. It was a shirt with, and this is, hey, even more getting in the 90s world, there were aliens involved. Green alien. So it was a shirt that was like a lineup with like three aliens, and in the middle a Tasmanian devil being like,
okay.
You know, wasn't me. That was like my favorite shirt at whatever age I was at that point. I don't remember what happened to it. Nobody snipped its sleeves, thank God. I don't know. I think, like, getting through all of this, I have to question, do I like it? I think I do. I think I'm glad they all exist. It's an oddity. It's a big question mark in American culture, and I like it.
Yeah, it is an oddity. It is, like, I think it just inherently is tied to nostalgia for us.
Yeah.
Even though, like, I didn't have any. I think, like, I do remember being at like a Ross or one of those stores, like a Marshalls or something, and going through the racks of like trying to find clothes that I liked, and just like over and over again, you see like, Gangster Taz, Gangster Tweety, Gangster Bugs, Gangster Taz again. It's like, oh my God. But now that I haven't seen them for a while, I'm like, who's going to bring it back?
Yeah. You know? That's how I feel about emo music. Now that I haven't heard it in a long time, I'm like, it's kind of fun.
I would imagine that like David Zaslav would not stand for any of that, since he won't even release a completed movie with the Looney Tunes characters. But
yeah, things are worse.
He sucks.
Things are worse now, and he's responsible. Interesting. I don't know. Looking on eBay, I'm like, $25. Should I get a sweater with Tweety Bird riding a motorcycle? It looked like it was in good shape.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it makes me think of, it's the same feeling when you mentioned nostalgia. I remember growing up and my friend's dad, who passed away very young, that was very sad, RIP. He was a collector of those old like McDonald's toys. And the glass cups you could get at McDonald's with characters on them. And I swear, like, he probably wasn't, but in my mind, he would show us that shit and be wearing a Looney Tunes sweatshirt. Like, that's all just one in my mind of just, like, 90s merch. It was a fascinating time. Some good shit.
Yeah.
We're missing out now.
This episode's gonna be a little short this time, everybody.
But we had to run and do some stuff
at the same time, though. We had a question in our minds and we've essentially answered it. Truly one of the most productive episodes of this podcast.
Tell us you aren't satisfied. We crushed this. I think we got to the bottom of it.
You can check us out on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Pocket Casts, HowDoWeHuman.com. We've been telling you, the website's been renovated.
New and
Anywhere that you get your podcasts, you can find this podcast and listen to past episodes and new episodes, which come out every single Monday.
You know it.
You can also rate, review, comment, subscribe, all those wonderful things. You can check us out on our social media as well. Follow us on Instagram at How Do We Human.
Oh, we got that handle.
You can check us out on Facebook at How Do We Human.
I don't think you're ready for that handle.
YouTube at How Do We Human. This was a very screen sharing episode. So true. If there's any episode you want to check out, it's probably this one.
Yeah. I don't think you're ready for that handle either. It's the same handle. Yeah.
It's the same handle.
You're still not ready.
You haven't been ready for any of them. You can, hang on. I don't have the phone number ready.
I've got it here.
You can leave us a voicemail. Let us know if you ever wore a Looney Tunes gangster shirt. You can call us at 323-657-9896.
I know how long the phone number should be, but that last number went up and sounded like there was going to be some more numbers, so I just sat back. The best part of that number is it's a number you can call and talk to us or leave us a message.
Truly, Evan was not ready for that handle.
I was not ready for that handle.
You can also send us an email to howdowehumanpod@gmail.com.
The best part of that email is that it's not a phone number at all. Related to that, I did look up to see if we had any reviews, which leave us 5-star reviews. For some reason, the number one, I don't know if it's ranked by like popularity, the number one episode that pops up when you go on Apple Podcasts and look up How Do We Human, death.
Oh, interesting.
Makes us sound a lot more intense than we are.
Yeah. Anyone who's been who's made it to the end of some of these episodes, since this is a shorter one, maybe this is your first time making it to the end of an episode.
True.
We've been taking 5 question quizzes. We're playing to 100 points. The current score, of course, is Chris with 23 points and Evan with 19 points. Let's see how the score shakes out today.
Gotta
Evan,
catch up.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. What spectral class does our sun belong to? K class, B class, A class, or G class?
Love a question that I don't even understand.
What do you mean? Man, I feel like I know the answer to this.
K-bag.
But I couldn't tell you why or how I know the answer. There's just one that is jumping out at me.
There's one jumping out at me too, so I'm just going to go with it. K is jumping out at me for some
reason.
Damn
it, that's the one I'm going with.
I think it's because of Kelvins, because that's light terminology.
It's fine, we were both wrong. It was G-class.
Of course. What is the name of Salvador Dali's most famous painting of clocks? The persistence of life, the persistence of time, the persistence of memory, or the persistence of aging?
God, this is like, you know, almost every time there's like one sort of like, this is as close, I think, to a question that I like should for sure know.
Yeah.
And I don't.
I feel 80%. But that 20% is really fucking with me right now.
I know. I'm between two of them, and I just, like, I'm gonna go the persistence of memory, but I'm, like, not confident about it.
It stresses me out, because I'm going with the persistence of time, but the persistence of memory is that 20%er that's upsetting me.
Okay. Well, this could be a chance for our score to either have a shorter gap or a longer gap. Let's see what happens. And I was
Damn
correct. It was the persistence
Fuck.
Of memory. All right. What was the name of Sherlock Holmes's intelligent brother? Kind of weird, because Sherlock Holmes, I would think, is also an intelligent brother. I don't know. I don't really understand
maybe
that. But anyway.
He also had a really dumb brother. We're not talking
Jimothy
about.
Watson, Charles, or Mycroft?
Okay.
Now, I feel like I know this 95%.
I feel like I know this 96%.
Dang, I hope we're going with different answers.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going with Mycroft.
I'm going with Mycroft.
Okay.
I'm going with Minecraft.
That is correct. Yeah, Minecraft Holmes. The intelligent brother, Minecraft Holmes.
Uh-oh, this might be up your alley, maybe. What kind of...
Sure is.
Damn it. What kind of animal did Matt Damon voice in the 2002 movie Spirit? Rabbit, lion, turtle, or horse?
I know this answer 100%.
Okay, so, then I'll answer first, and just yes. Because I vaguely remember this movie, and it was about a horse. So I don't know if he was the main character, but I'm saying horse.
Yeah, it's horse.
Yeah!
All right, we both got that.
I'm still down. Last question. Need this one.
What ocean contains the spot where 0 degrees longitude Dang. Meets 0 degrees latitude?
Holy
I hate this question.
Shit. Yeah. Interesting.
Oh, by the way, the options are Indian Ocean, Atlantic Ocean,
you really
Pacific
got...
Ocean, or Arctic Ocean.
You really got to get on our YouTube. catch up with us. Fuck. Where it meets. I hate this. I've got my guess. I'm going to say Arctic.
Okay. I'm between Atlantic and Indian.
Okay.
So we will at the very least have different answers.
We will. Indian was my second guess, but I don't.
I think I'm trying to remember.
I don't remember how this works.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. Without trying to get you to change your answer to whatever I pick,
yeah.
I'm trying to remember where a specific thing on the globe is.
Okay.
And whether or not, basically, which side of Africa do I think it lands on is basically where I'm struggling. You know what? I'm going to say Indian Ocean.
Okay.
And I don't. I'm going to be real pissed when it shows up as Atlantic. But I'm going to say Indian Ocean.
Let's go.
Fuck.
See, I couldn't remember, like, is it longitude, like, based on the equator?
I think it was where do the equator and the prime meridian meet.
Right. I couldn't remember if it was that or obviously where I ended up going more with the poles. But then I kept thinking, like, even that wouldn't meet in the ocean. So I don't know why I answered the way I did. I shouldn't have.
Well, at the end of the day, the score, the gap between us has in fact increased.
I know.
Where we stand now is myself with 26 points and Evan, you have 21 points.
All right.
So if we were playing blackjack, that's where you'd want to be.
Hey,
but
maybe
we're not.
We are.
We're playing trivia up to 100 points.
Maybe, but maybe we're playing blackjack. Or maybe.
Abadi. That's all, folks. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.